May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let me read this one verse to you, then we'll go back to the scripture that Bracken just read. And this is this angel coming and speaking to Zacharias when he's offering sacrifice at the temple and letting him know what John the Baptist's ministry, the son to come, was going to be about. It says, "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit on his mother's womb. And he will turn back many of the sons of Israel to their Lord their God, and it is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." I've always liked that scripture. It's always meant a lot to me about righteousness being an attitude. And we know as New Testament believers that righteousness is fulfilled in a person, that we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so everything about righteousness is, we can say he's a person, righteousness is a person. But again, what does that mean to be righteous? What is that? What's the definition? We know it's found in the person of Christ. What is the definition of righteousness? And it should be an attitude. The verses that were read this morning, one of the accounts of the birth of Christ, a real familiar one, is that when Mary reveals to Joseph that she's pregnant, he's going to put her away because law required her to be stoned to death. But he was compassionate, was going to just put her away secretly and go on and try to put the pieces of his life together while she did the same thing. And it says in verse 19, "And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. But when he had considered doing this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" And of course, he responded and went in the middle of the night, let her know that things were on. And I imagine what she did when they first told him, he just was like, she wasn't sure what their future was. But I believe the reason that Joseph had such compassion on her is because he was righteous. It says he was a righteous man. Most of the time when we think of people or people think about others that, and they call it about being righteous, there's like an edge to that. That people who claim to be righteous sort of have an arrogance about them and an edginess and sort of a harshness and judgmentalism towards other people. That sort of kind of is out there. But to walk in that, to manifest that in light of righteousness, is to not understand what righteousness is all about at all. One, I believe he was compassionate because he was righteous, and the righteousness of God always has a foundation of grace and compassion. Because here's the thing about righteousness. The word righteousness, or the word just, it was in the translation that Bracken read, it just means right. To be right. But the idea is that righteousness is the fact that God's right about everything. What he says about something, what he sees about something's right. And righteousness is when you and I have supreme confidence, absolute faith in, so faith is involved, and are willing to pay any price in light of that, that we have supreme confidence in the fact that God is right about a thing, and what he says is true about a thing, regardless of what he says and what he thinks about it, how ridiculous it might appear to be. And then just lining up with that. Sometimes it involves extravagant costs and extravagant risk and sacrifice, but the deal is, the attitude of the righteous believes God's right about this, and all I need to know is what's God saying about this and what's God seeing about this, and I'm going to, and I have absolute confidence that he's right about it, and he's going to be faithful in light of what he's right about. The consequences are his issues, not mine. I'm just going to get in line with that. That's faith. That's why you'll see a lot of places in Scripture that it'll say it was counted to him as righteous because they stepped out in faith, because they just dared to believe, okay, God's right. So here's Joseph in a devotional I wrote this morning, and it actually did one of those speech recognition things, and it actually came out not something horrible. I used the word cockamamie, and it came out cockamamie. I thought, I was so grateful. I was assuming a wrestling match with my speech recognition. That's the biggest cockamamie story a man's ever heard in his life. His wife comes to him and says that she's pregnant by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say he was pondering as to whether she told him the truth or not. He was just pondering what he had conclusion. The only answer he could come up with is put her away so that she wouldn't be stoned to death. So that was a stupid, impossible, ridiculous story. When an angel came to him and spoke to him and revealed to him what God said about it and how God saw the situation, he totally adjusted because he was a righteous man. He had the attitude of a righteous man. And I believe that's why God chose him to steward such a ridiculous situation, because God knew that he could speak to Joseph and whatever it is God said about the thing, Joseph would go, well, you're right. Now, it may cross all logic. It was still a total cockamamie story. He had no point of reference to draw from. But he believed it. He was absolutely confident and risked everything. His future, his reputation. You know, and there are times I've wondered, like, in the market as the years went on and somebody would whisper something about Mary and there's that couple and, you know, she had the illegitimate child. Did Joseph get tempted, struggle? But you know what? I just believe he thought, well, no. And he couldn't explain it scientifically. God's right. And I don't care what they say. And I don't care how it seems. God's right. And you see, that's why real righteousness never carries an attitude of arrogance, because it's not about you being right. You didn't come up with the right idea in the first place. We're so utterly and totally dependent that we live by the words that proceed out of the mouth of God. See, the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was all about our ability to discern right and wrong. And then once we've discerned it without God's help, our ability to carry it out. And that was the fall. That's why the world gets in such trouble. There's real blurs about right and wrong, but it's him. What he says is right about a thing, and how he sees a thing. Nothing for me to be proud of, because apart from him, I'm blind. I can't see anything. I can't really separate those things. The lines get real blurred. And whatever it is he says is right about a thing, if I'll just in faith step out in obedience, he's always faithful. He'll not cover my back. He covers his own back. He's the one who said it was right. Do you see that? That's righteousness. Now, the cool thing about righteousness being a person is that Jesus lives in us as the voice of the shepherd to reveal to us by the Holy Spirit right and wrong. But he's also the ability of God to walk it out. Once we say yes, then he's the power of God to walk it out. So it's all wrapped up in this person now, but still. Now, this is the helpful thing to understand. We make it so complicated. It's just what God says is right about something, and then having supreme confidence in that, no matter how popular it might be. There have been lots of people over the years who've paid amazing prices to obey God because God said something about something and they got in line with that and owned their own family members. Didn't like what they did. Paid too big a price. That's too radical. That's too... So anyway, I believe that's why God chose him. Now, why God didn't go ahead and tell him first before Mary told her cockamamie story, that's just fun to me. God's just fun. There were divine purposes of all that, but he was confident that Joseph was confident that God was always right, that God worked out the details. Just obey in faith. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.